Welcome to Recovery Rocks, where we talk about all things recovery and music. I'm Tawny.
And I'm Lisa, and we're really glad you're here.
Hey everyone, it's your two favorite ladies, Tawny and
Lisa. Hello.
Hello, hello. And my dog Claire is in the background too. You can't see her, but Lisa can. So
I can.
Beautiful 70-pound chow chow wants to say hello. So this week we are going to chat about friendships and, you know, how our friendships change in recovery. A common question that we get is like, will I lose my friends if I quit drinking? How am I going to socialize with my existing friends if I don't drink alcohol anymore? You know, it's the friendship anxiety is palpable. Like I remember I personally felt that in my own drinking. Like I've been sober for, you know, 5.5 years now, but you know, even when I was still drinking and I knew that I should drink less alcohol, I had this anxiety of like, well, then how am I going to hang out with my friends? What am I going to do for fun? Like it just, so like, you know, that kept me drinking for longer because it just, you know, we have our own reasons to keep drinking, right? So this was definitely a big one of mine. And I recently wrote an article for our friends at Tempest. Definitely check out Tempest. They're a great online recovery platform. The article is called Will I Lose All My Friends If I Quit Drinking? And we're going to put it in the show notes. And we're also just going to chat about this article today. So Lisa, what does this topic bring up for you?
Oh, it brings up everything. I mean, at the root of, you know, my dissent was 12 years going down miserably. And one of the biggest things I think that kept me from even considering stopping drinking was, what does that mean? You know, obviously, what does that mean for my social life? What does that mean for my, you know, my friends drink, they still drink, most of them. And, I was afraid drinking was such a part of my identity, you know, and who I was that I couldn't imagine what it would look like to not drink. Like, not just how do I hang out with my friends and go to the bar or this or that, but like, how do I sit at a dinner table? How do I, you know, go to a concert? Like, how do I do the things I like to do with my friends without alcohol? And, you know, one of the things that I realized quickly, I mean, the only reason I reached out for help the day I did was because I truly thought I was going to die that day. And for some reason, for all the mornings that I had woken up wishing I hadn't woken up, for some reason on that morning when I actually thought it was happening, something in me snapped and decided I didn't want to die that day in that hallway. And, you know, it didn't give me time in that moment to think, well, what is this going to mean? You know, all I wanted to do right then was get to the hospital. So I didn't, you know, as opposed to thinking, okay, now I'm going to get sober and I'm going to stop drinking. None of that was in my brain. And, you know, my friends, like I said, all drank and we drank a lot together. None of them had any idea how bad my situation had been behind closed doors. And I didn't know what was going to happen when I called them. You know, we had this group that, you know, we were our own network for so many years. You know, if I had a dentist appointment, they'd be, you know, one of my friends would be my contact in the city. We were a bunch of young, you know, kind of people living in New York City on our own. And yet I didn't feel I could talk to them about this. And I was afraid of that. And on that morning, when I realized I was going to check into the hospital for 5 days, I knew that I couldn't just fall, you know, same with my family. I couldn't just disappear for 5 days. That was not going to happen. And I just spit it out. And I didn't know I didn't really think about what was going to come back. But I also didn't really doubt that they would be there to support me. I just didn't know what it was going to look like. And they all immediately were right there. And the thing I realized is that, you know, you have these different categories of friendships. You have your true friends, who are the friends I write about in my book, who are still my friends today, who, you know, care about you for you and want to be there to support you in difficulties in your life. And then you have your other friends who are really just party friends. And, you know, my true friends all came over that day, all helped me get to the hospital, and remained supportive throughout. How can we support you? You know, I mean, and then there were the people I knew from the bar that I used to stop at every night after work that, you know, one night I stopped showing up there because I went into detox. I never heard from any of those people again. You know, I often say this, like, I wonder if at some point they were like, you know, hanging out at the bar one night and were like, hey, whatever happened to that chick Lisa, you know? And it just didn't, and they fell away, and that was fine because my true friends didn't think about falling away. They had questions, and it was, you know, we went through all the awkward stuff of like, okay, well, should I tell you that I'm going out drinking tonight or not? Should I, you know, but we were, your true friends are committed to being your true friends, and it changes how things look. We, you know, we navigated it together. And like I always say, like, I lived like a vampire in New York City. I didn't know there were things that you do during the day. We started meeting for lunch because they were not like me, holed up on a Saturday, you know, having been up for 36 hours, still going. They were able to go meet me for lunch and go shoe shopping or go to a museum or do these things. And they actually wanted to do that. And when I was like, hey, you know, I get it, you might not want to hang out with me sort of thing, they were like, are you ridiculous? What are you talking about? You know, I mean,
yeah, I mean, that's so real. Like you said, alcohol was such a big part of our identities that the thought of doing anything without it just to me seemed impossible. I was like, well, how am I going to blank? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Like, whether it was, you know, I was like, oh, I can't quit drinking this weekend because so-and-so's bachelorette party's at the end of the month. So that there's no point. I mean, like I had every possible reason to keep drinking, you know, like I say reason in quotes, but it's just, it's ridiculous, but excuse. You know, it was just an excuse. Yeah. Thank you. But you know, if you think about it from a very fundamental, like almost like childlike perspective, our friendship groups change as our hobbies and interests change. And this starts at a very young age, you know, like what you're involved in school ultimately shapes your friendships, right? Or your extracurricular activities shapes your friendship. So, you know, I was in seventh and eighth grade, I was very into choir. So I was hanging out with my choir friends. And, but then once I got more into like broadcast journalism, into like diving more into my electives, I was hanging out with more journalists and I stopped hanging out with my choir friends. And it's like, there was no hard feelings. It was just our interests.
They were moving on to what they were doing too.
Yeah. Like it was, it just like, you know, naturally we just shift, our communities shift. And so like I interviewed a therapist for this particular article. And when she mentioned that to me, like it really, I just loved that perspective because it, you know, we were so obsessed with the alcohol angle of it, but it really is just your friendship groups change as your hobbies change. So, you know, drinking was a huge, dangerous hobby of mine. So obviously I was hanging out in bars. I was hanging out in liquor stores. I was, you know, I was hanging out with people who like to drink alcohol, to dangerous levels like I did. So once that stopped being my hobby, a lot of those people stopped being my friends, like you said. And I like how you split up the categories of friendships because, you know, I, some of those people are still my very good friends. But I learned who was my actual friend versus who were my drinking buddies.
Right.
And that is a very painful lesson that I was not prepared for in sobriety.
Yeah. And there can also be, I think, when you get sober and you are more present and you start, you know, treating yourself with more respect, you demand more respect from other people. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't tolerate bullshit and toxic friendships anymore. And that was something I think that was, you know, that was a process for me. And once I started, you know, I came into recovery and I had what we call the gift of desperation. I was like, tell me what to do. I'm going to do it. Right. And so if my sponsor said to me in 12 step, like, you know, I would say, I'm going to go out tonight for dinner with my friends. I remember doing this about probably about three, you know, or not even maybe like very early in recovery saying, you know, I'm going to go to dinner with my friends. And she said, are those the friends you used to drink with? Meaning my good friend, and I'm talking about my good friends. And I said, yes. And she was like, okay, I'm going to make the suggestion, a strong suggestion. And I knew when she made a strong suggestion that it was something she really felt strongly about, that you not go to that dinner because you're going to be sitting at the table you used to drink at in the restaurant you used to drink at with the friends you used to drink with. And I was afraid to tell them that the first time, but I did it because I wanted recovery more than I wanted anything. You know, I felt like a new human being after like getting myself like detoxed and landing in a program where I could actually make the choice not to drink each day. And so I said, okay, I'm going to do that. And I remember talking to my friends and them being like, well, does that, you know, what does that mean exactly? And then when I explained it, like the people, places and things, I got to be careful about that. And it's not, you know, I think it's better for us to do other things. They were like, okay, great. You know, all right, we'll do that. We're bummed because we'll miss you at dinner, but, you know, we'll see you in whatever way is supportive. Whereas like there were other people more on the periphery where I was like, you know, I'm actually not going out to dinner after work, you know, I'm doing these other things now. And they were like, okay, well, that's good. And then you don't hear from them again.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that the friendship in some ways was some of those, you know, lesser or, you know, party or secondary friendships were more a vehicle to facilitate my drinking and their drinking, right? Like, okay, I'm not drinking alone to excess tonight because, you know, Sue will go out with me. And then as soon as I'm not drinking, Sue doesn't really want to go out with me anymore. I'm not useful to her anymore. And that's fine. That means Sue was never really my true friend.
Yeah, and that can be painful, you know? Like, I remember going through those things where it's like asking someone to hang out and people aren't going to flat out say they have issues with your sobriety, but their response will be clear that alcohol was what we had in common. And they don't want to go for a walk with you. They don't want to grab coffee with you. They're too busy, you know? Right. And those moments, are I think are just part of recovery. They're part of your sobriety journey. But it's, you know, and I think it's important to note that we're not saying don't hang out with anyone that drinks alcohol. With people that drink I still have friends that drink alcohol.
My friends still drink. Yeah.
And like you said, your friend had a perfect response of like, we can hang out in a way that's more comfortable for you.
Right.
Like, what a wonderful response. Like, if I get invited to a friend's birthday party and it's at a bar, they know it's a bar. Tawny might come. If she does come, she'll probably only come for 30 minutes. And I might even say, how about I just take you out to lunch for your birthday? I don't feel like going to a bar.
Right.
Like, anyone who does not have anyone who has an issue with that, I mean, it's they don't have your best interest in heart. They don't genuinely care about you.
They don't support you. Thing too that I think you know, based on what you said, made me think about this is that was at the beginning, You know, that was when I was first getting my feet under me. Now, and it didn't take years before this happened. It didn't take long, but it took a little bit of time for me to feel comfortable in recovery where I could go out to dinner with my friends and I'm not drinking, but they are. And then I go home and they go to the bar because I personally don't like going to the bar anymore. But also, you know, if I chose to, you know, I'm not saying somebody else shouldn't be able to go to the bar. Just for me, that was never a really a thing. And also I was, you know, now I'm older and my friends don't go to the bar afterwards. But like I got to the point where I was able to be fine around my friends when they drank in certain contexts. I don't need to be like in a club till 3 a.m.
That sounds exhausting.
Right. It's just unappealing in general.
But
yeah. And the other thing that it can do, like when you talk about the party friends, people who get sober can be kind of scary to somebody because it makes them say, well, if she's got a problem, what about me? You know, what does that say about me? And some people ask me that question and I would be like, it says nothing about you. Like I had a lot of people randomly kind of ask me, you know, do you think I have a problem? And I would say, you know, that's your, I'm not making any judgment on that. And I don't, you know, if I thought you had a problem and I was worried about you, I would tell you. Mm. And, you know, but if you think you have a problem, then that's something you should look at on your own, but no judgment. You know, it does make people uncomfortable. Because people like that, because it forces them to see like, oh, this person who, you know, I've been thinking, because there were people when I was out tearing it up that were like, if they had come to me and been like, Lisa, I got to quit. I'm getting sober, blah, blah, blah. I'd be like, oh, shit. Do I have to get sober?
Mm-hmm.
That would be like the first thought. And so people will have that thought. And the answer is like, no, you know, it's all about you. And it does get comfortable. It wasn't that long before I could go to dinner with my friends and it didn't matter if they drank or not. But I also discovered this whole new thing of doing, you know, we started going like to see some like off-Broadway theater stuff or like go yes. to like a book reading, you know, whatever it was. And they liked that too, my good friends, because, you know, they really didn't have to be drinking all the time. They really didn't care if an evening, you know, revolved around that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Because like we say, we're the people with drinking problems we notice how other people drink, where, you know, someone, yes. our normies, like we call them, a lot of them just want to, a lot of our actual good friends just want to hang out. So for them saying, let's grab a drink just yeah. means, hey, I want to catch up with Lisa. And that person might only have one drink, you know, but
totally.
Like,
totally.
But yeah. they honor that drinking is something that you're not doing anymore. So they throw out other options like, yeah, let's go to this poetry reading tonight, or let's go to this museum, or let's go. Like they just want to hang out.
Let's
go
take a walk, like you said. But yeah. like there is daylight. That was something that I learned.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. And this topic is super present right now with people questioning their relationships with alcohol within the pandemic. So there's been, you know, a lot of people that are drinking more because of the pandemic, working from home. These significant life changes. And then there's people, you know, I don't have statistics for this, but there's people that are finding that they don't really drink when they're not being invited to happy hours and social events. They're realizing that like, why was I even drinking in the first place? Like they're not, you know, so, you know, there's, and so like, you know, people are, you know, reintegrating and connecting with their friends again. So, you know, maybe a year and a half ago, meeting for drinks made sense with your friendship group. And now some people may not drink anymore, or some people are drinking too much. So, you know, we're in this very interesting time of, you know, getting back out there physically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Figuring out how am I going to hang out with my friends without drinking? You know, like, we talk a lot about sober firsts, where mm-hmm. like your first Christmas, your first birthday, your first, you know, everything in sobriety. A lot of people's sober firsts are also post-pandemic
totally.
Sober firsts, which can be super scary because,
yeah.
You're so used to being locked up in your apartment. And now you're like going to socialize and you're not leaning into alcohol anymore. So it's like,
yeah,
it's a big convo.
Yeah. And I have actually near the beginning of the pandemic. So in, the late spring of 2020, I took on a new sponsee who was just getting sober in the pandemic. And so she celebrated a year. Now she's got a year and a few months, and she's amazing, and she's just blows me away. But she is having to come out of the world again, like go into the workplace and all the work situations, mm-hmm. and you know, with friendships, with all of that, for the first time, you know, going through it, and it is important. I think for her also, and this is another, this sort of leads to another thing about friendships, is it's important for her to have somebody like me to talk about it with, you know, to sort of develop a plan, right? To you know that she can pick up the phone anytime she wants and where, you know, we can deal with that. And that, one of the things like that really, and there are people who are falling away for her, for sure. And for I think that kind of reason. And one of the things that, you know, is unexpected when you quit drinking are the friends you develop. Like, mm-hmm. I look at you and I, like, or you yep. and me, we wouldn't have even known each other. You know?
Yeah. I'm glad that you brought that up, because there's such an anxiety of how do I make friends without drinking that, like, I didn't even think about. Oh my gosh, how many friends can I make because I stopped drinking, you know?
Right.
I met my partner, Nick, who was on a previous yeah. episode. I met you. We've met so many people in our recovery, and even just online friends that we've met through the digital, you know, Instagram, sober space that we haven't even met on like in person yet, but we have developed close digital friendships
yes,
with people,
yes.
you know, based on sobriety. So I would love to throw out a couple fun ways to meet people without alcohol.
Oh, great idea.
You know, for a big one for me is classes. You know, you call me intellectually curious and it makes my heart flutter every time you say it.
I love it so much because you so are. And it's like one of my favorite characteristics in humans.
Well, when we stop drinking, we tend to have more time, and sometimes we have more money because
clarity.
We're not spending it. You have clarity. So, you know, you're able to focus on your hobbies and things that are interesting to you that you maybe put on the back burner when you were drinking. So for me, you know, that was studying Spanish. It was, you know, taking a lot of writing classes, doing some public speaking classes, and so I was connecting with people because we had a shared interest. What, you know, we're learning Spanish together. We're studying writing together. So whether they drank or not really didn't matter because we had this thing that was bigger than alcohol. So like all of these wonderful friendships formed from that. So, mm-hmm. you know, and even on like, you know, now, you know, there's a big influx of online classes and workshops and stuff like that. You can still connect with people like these online workshops. They still have breakout rooms where you can connect with people one-on-one. And so, you know, just trying new things, maybe, you know, for me, writing was super important to me. Like I said, in early high school, I was getting involved in broadcast journalism and writing. And then I started self-medicating with drugs and alcohol. And so that was one, writing was one of my earlier interests that I hit pause on for 15 years. And yeah. so once I got sober, I was able to dive in full force and really, really lean into that side of me.
Yeah, I think that's so true. That is so true. And, you know, there are also, you know, things in the sort of sober community now that we're starting to meet in person again, that just recently there is a 12-step meeting at a women's sober house that I started going to when I moved to California. And then, you know, 6 months in, the pandemic hit and I wasn't able to go anymore. It was every Friday. And now, you know, we have it outside, but now every Friday or most Fridays, hopefully, you know, I try to make it. It's at a sober living where people who have just come out of treatment go to live, you know, for a while before they go back out into the world in general. And there's a bunch of, it's a women's meeting and it is just got this core group of women who come basically in support of these newcomers every week. And I've made more friends out of those women in the last, whatever it is, 3 months that we've been meeting, or what, however long, 4 or 5 months maybe, that we've been meeting in person, than I made in the entire year and a half, you know, that I lived here before that. And, you know, you can, like, sober stuff, like what Big Vision does, all kinds, which is sober events in New York mm-hmm. City. There's all kinds of things to do and to try. And sometimes it's, you know, it's can be kind of like, oh, do I want to show up at this, this sober thing, by myself? And you don't have to, like, a lot of things mm-hmm. you can do. You can grab a friend who's not necessarily sober, but happy to go not drink with you that day or that night and do it.
I love that. Happy to go not drink with you.
Yeah.
Another, an app I just learned about called Lex, L-E-X. It's a queer meetup app, basically. So from what I understand, it's to try and get queer people out of bars being this, you know, the queer community, the bar, the gay bar is like this rite of passage where you know, you meet people like you. But there's this new app called Lex that's just queer meetups. So it's like there's queer roller skating, like ice cream tastings, yeah. Like, you know, so.
And it's sober?
It's just queer.
It's just, yeah. So,
but
like,
it's more
sober, not sober, but it's not focused
It's not focused on alcohol, which is like, it's just creative ways to connect with like-minded people. So
yeah,
I think that's a really cool, I love that, you know, things like this are starting to pop up. And yeah. My, for the music minute, my mind has been humming My Friends by the Chili Peppers, which I know is
me
like-
and my really friend. Oh yeah.
My friends are so depressed.
Oh my God. I was thinking the same thing.
That was, it's like not an upbeat song, but maybe.
But
like,
there's also Me and My Friends, which is another one, which is, you know, more fun.
I can tell that we're going to be friends by the White Stripes.
You know what came to me was Spice Girls Wannabe.
You got to get with my friends.
Yeah.
Yes. I love that. That's actually the perfect one because it's like maybe not if you want to be my lover, but like.
No, but whoever you are,
yeah,
you got to get with my friends. Like, you got to be okay with me and who I am and who I hang with.
Yeah, it's like, if you want to know me sober, you got to.
Yeah. Oh, you're rewriting the lyrics.
I'm rewriting the song. Give me a moment, please.
Are any of the Spice Girls sober? Maybe we need to know.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like there's so many people now that we just, you know, it's so much more common now and we just don't know it.
It really is. And then there's people that just don't drink. Like, I know Kim Kardashian, yeah. Jennifer Lopez, Shakira, they're just,
yeah.
just don't drink. Like, they'll have a sip of champagne, like for a toast or something, but they're just like, no, like, why would I do that?
Right. It's poison. Why am I doing that?
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Well, this has like really been important discussion, I think. I'm glad you did it. Everybody check out Tawny's article. We will put it in the show notes. And let us know what you think. And if you have questions about sober friendships and continuing friendships with your true friends after you get sober. Until next time, be well.
Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.